You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest in the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to apply. All right, so today I have Denley McIntosh on the line, and he is CEO and co-founder of Renew IQ. Denley, welcome to the show.
Hey, Adam. Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to this conversation.
All right, Denley. So I'm so excited to announce to our community your participation in the upcoming book. We'll also be talking about Renew IQ. So excited to get into your work and the meaningful things that you're doing there. And first off, I just want to say, hey, congrats for being selected for the book. I'm really excited to get you published.
Yeah, you know what? It's been a long time in the making. My wife and partner would say, and so I'm glad that we're able to collaborate on this this work and kind of get the message out here to make a workplace a better place through belonging.
Yeah, it's awesome. Well, we'll start this episode the way that we start them all, with our Mission Matters Minute. So Denley, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. Denley, what mission matters to you?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, what matters to me in terms of mission is bringing people together and seeing them be their best selves, right? We're so divided today, and it goes without saying, but more and more as I navigate through social media, we forget our collective voices, or maybe some have never discovered that. And I think the mission for me is that how do we bring people together, and not only bring them together, that they don't tear each other apart, but they actually are collaborating, work with each other, and bring out their best selves. And so that's been the mission for me. And I think in that is that creating that space of belonging where people can do that is something that's been a heartbeat for me for the last several years.
It's awesome. Love bringing mission-based individuals on the line to share why they do what they do and really what we can all learn from it so that we can all grow together. So just kind of, I guess, taking a couple steps back here, how did the entrepreneur starting a business, like tell me a little bit more about your story. How did all this come about?
Yeah, you know what? It's always been part what I have been doing and what my wife Tajay and I have been doing. You know, when we first graduated from school, we wanted to embark on our own, and we were this sort of passionate young up and comers, and we're looking to change the world. And life hit us and said, you know what, you may need some more life experiences before you kind of really get your groove. So we started really out of university saying we want to do this, plant our flag as a business, but then we had to figure out sometimes it's not the right timing, right? Yeah. You have the right idea, but not the right timing. And so build relationships, build work experiences, and then the opportunity comes where, especially during the COVID opportunity, where people wanted to find how do we feel connected in a disconnected time, a disconnected period. And so those are things that help really magnify and amplify the work that we're doing and establish us as real, true business owners, I would say. So we were in the game, but now we really feel that the game is in us and we wanted to give back.
Oh man, I love that. We were in the game, but now we feel the game is in us. It's great words. So there's some entrepreneurs or even maybe would-be entrepreneurs watching this that they have an idea, they have a concept, and maybe they haven't really pushed it through or launched it. I mean, there's a big difference here, right? You had an idea, and no matter how long it took or whatever your process was, like you got it done, right? You started the company, right? Yeah. What kind of tips or what advice would you give to those out there that are, let's just say, sitting on an idea and just haven't gotten it out to the market yet?
Yeah, you know what? One of the things I would say that there's no substitute for having a community with you, right? The reason a lot of us don't take that next step because we don't know we have a net when we fall. Yeah. And so we stay at the shore of fear, then venturing out into the ocean of hope. and the ocean of opportunity. And so we have an amazing community of people that gather, and they're not the same community. They're, it's sort of like an aggregate of different communities coming together, knowing that we're here for you if things you know, fall apart. And obviously that's not the plan, but that does make a difference in terms of taking that idea. Then the second level, I would say, having a board of advisors. Mm-hmm. We think of that only as a corporation, but I think that everyone should have their personal board of advisors that's speaking into them, giving some mentorship, and that you're bouncing ideas to help shape and frame and helping you take those next steps. And of course, you should have allies in your life that thick or thin, they're ride and die sort of people to help bring that idea to fruition. So I would say those are probably the three principles or tips I would give.
So I want to stick on that idea of community a little bit longer because, and I'll pick on myself here. Like so the other co-founder here, Chirag, like he was always a big community person. Like he knew and he got that. I don't know if it was intuitive or it's just his previous experiences, but my previous business being a financial advisor, it wasn't really a community element. It was kind of you know, everybody's kind of running their own team, so to speak. So it was a little bit of a different thing. So I had a little bit of a shift or trouble kind of understanding that concept. And for those that hear me talk now, they're probably like, yeah, right. I'm like, it wasn't that I was anti-community. I just didn't get it. And I can say, you know, at Mission Matters, once we started focusing on community and the idea of how do we uplift others and how do we do, like, how do we be, and what does it even mean to be a good community member, right? Like, things changed for us. And then once I got it and once that was in my heart, I feel like just the business just took a whole nother complexion. And let's just say that things worked pretty well. What would be your experience with community or building it or that secret sauce? Like what's your view on the community aspect?
Yeah, you know what? That's a really good question. I will say that depending what part of the world you're from, this question may sound very inane to some people. It's silly. So what do you mean community is this new thing? And because some parts of the world, that's, you cannot be a person without being a community.
Yeah.
Right?
It's where we all started, right? That's why it sounds counterintuitive, but it's where, like, in some, depending where you're at, it may not be intuitive.
Absolutely. And in our culture, being in North America, living in suburban areas and commuting for maybe 1 or even 2 hours, you lose that sense of community where our predecessors or ancestors, forebears would have. So it becomes even more difficult. So to me, it's indispensable in really the formative parts of growing as human beings and being able to be our best selves and contributing. So as a culture, we need to kind of relearn something that's ancient, so to speak. But it really begins with people like what you're doing, Adam, going first and sharing and opening up so people have permission, especially us as males. Sometimes we don't see that. Why community matters, play on words on the mission matters.
Yeah, it's great. So I want to spend a little bit of time on your writing and on the upcoming book. So for everybody watching this, hey, we will be bringing Denley back on the line, just so you know, for once the book is live and out there. So this is just the first interview. There'll be a second part. But just to give the audience a little bit of the flavor of what kind of content you'll be bringing to the book, tell us a little bit more about the writing.
Yeah, I think the writing... So I thought about, you know, what could I add to the conversation or discourse in business, right? There's so many cutting edge things. And so what can I, little me, bring to this picture? But I thought about just the relationship building and where belonging is a key element in that. And I wanted to focus on that and bring it from a space where it seems like it's wishy-washy, doesn't really contribute to making the workplace a better place. And I wanted to drill in on that as leaders. Adam, we're in a cosmic shift in terms of how we look at business, and businesses are no longer driving purely on economics. They're driving now on ethics as well. Yeah. Right?
That's and a special shift, by the way. Like that's amazing to see that we're progressing that much as a society. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, absolutely. And consequently, you talked about it's not intuitive for some people to create spaces, safe spaces and belonging spaces. Leaders are like, oh my gosh, I'm here as a leader, but I never was taught that Mm-hmm. How to be that kind of person. It's almost like when you get into university and you get that first paper back and you get ripped up. It's like a D or an F. And then you say, what happened on this? And the professor says, did you not learn this in high school, how to write? And you get your rude awakening. It's something like that. People have skated by through high school, in the high school of human relationship. And when they get to university, the rude awakening comes, that there's an expectation as them as a leader to create these spaces where people can develop these formative relationships, which not only makes them as better as a person, their staff and their employees, their team members better, but it ultimately helps the bottom line. There is a gap on leaders knowing how to do that and operationalize that. So that's the space that kind of we found ourselves, my wife and I, in terms of strategizing. How do we take this idea of head, heart, and hand into the workplace and create a better space to be?
So I have about 50 more questions on this, but I'm going to save these for the next interview. That's just a little taste of what we'll be talking about and what's going to be out in the book. So for now, let's shift focus. So I want to spend some time talking about Renew IQ. So first off, tell us a little bit more about the company.
Yeah, we're a leadership development company. I would say we specialize in the space of bringing, as I said, the head, heart, and hand into the workplace. And what I mean by that, when we work with C-suite leaders and giving them advice and bringing perspective, they said, oh man, that's amazing. What do I do with that now? So yeah. What? And so we bring in the strategy side with the process, the implementation, and trying to help leaders take this sort of amazing idea. In this case, a lot of times it's diversity, inclusion, and anti-racism and belonging, and then work its way down throughout the organization. We believe that culture change starts from the top and it's reinforced at the bottom. And many times leaders see, oh, you know what? This is a great idea. Send it to my people down there and let them work on it. And like, no, culture change can never start from the bottom. It's part of the story, but it can't start from there. And trying to help leaders to see it starts from the top, because at the end of the day, when I always say that you know the flavor of a tea when you put it in hot water, right? And people will default into who they are by virtue of fear. And if you're trying to create an environment where you had, where it's always been a culture of fear and toxicity, when you're saying, let's kind of move towards more diversity and we're going to prove our process. And then all of a sudden you get, oh no, our client needs this. And you default to who that past where you're saying, now I don't want to be that kind of leader, but the fear gets into you and you start to become that. Guess what? Your leaders be under you. All they're going to say that I'm not going to do what you've said you want to do. I'm going to do what you say we need to do. And I'm going to be the kind of person that I don't want to be, but I have to make the bottom line. And so so it's trying to help the leaders know that you create the space, you create the environment where people have permission to fail forward. They also have permission to open up. They also have permission to say, I don't have it all together and I need you. And it starts from the top. And I always say there's two styles of leadership. There's push leadership and pull leadership. And what I mean by that, push leadership is where you lead through delegation. And we need to do that, right? There's only so much time in a day. You can't be everywhere. But if you don't lead out front, the kind of culture change you're looking for doesn't happen. And so I said you also need to have pull leadership. What does that mean? You actually have to get onto the ground, get on the ground and demonstrate what it means to have the kind of culture change you're looking for. And the further down you go into your organization, the more likely the culture change will start to stick, because people will see you as a person embodying that. And that's why I always say that as leader, I love Undercover Boss. I always refer to it because they're leaders that get to the ground and they see, oh my gosh, my culture didn't actually reach the ground. And then when they reveal themselves that they're the leaders of the organization, it changes the way that they see things, because they see things on the ground, whereas from the top. So get on the ground is one of the big pieces that we try to let leaders know.
So, you know, I feel like leaders intuitively, like leaders don't want to, of course, do a bad job. Like yeah. a lot of times, maybe they're not equipped with the right skills. They don't have the right perspective. Or in the case of that show, by the way, like they didn't have the right vantage point, right? They had to get messy to finally understand what it was like to be on the front line of their business, right? And so there'll be a lot of people that watch this. And of course, at the end of this interview, I'll give you the opportunity to leave contact information and things like that so that people can connect with you and your team. But where do you find is a good place for someone to start? And again, not saying like one size fits all. Obviously, every organization, different size, different industry, different history as a leader, right? But like if somebody's watching this and they're like, you know, I need to maybe kind of shift my mindset or focus and start really taking this stuff seriously, like where's a good place for them to start in their learning process?
Yeah, that's an amazing question. I just sometimes we get caught up on where to start than just start. So I think so because you know, and I'll use a baseball analogy. Forgive me for those who may not have some baseball. See, this is the analogy, but in baseball, you cannot score a run until you touch all the bases, right? And if you skip a base and you make it the home plate, the umpire is not calling you safe. You actually have to run back and touch the base that you miss and get to home plate. And yeah. I think this sort of experience is similar. You start somewhere, touch that base, start another place, start that base, but it's not necessarily a hodgepodge either. You're thinking about it, but if you're trying to compare yourself to company X or company C, you may be disappointed because their starting point is going to be different from yours. Mm. But at the end of the day, you have to touch all those bases and whatever those bases mean for you, which will translate into a score. And that's what we try to help our clients discover. Where is that first base for your second base? And then kind of map out a plan to score.
How do you think that, or what are some ways that people should measure whether or not they're being successful or not in this area?
Yeah, you know, so the measuring stick has changed or maybe just expanded, right? Bottom line is still important. Bottom line is still the bottom line. Mm-hmm. But I also know that there is the shift that we're talking about of what do your team say about you? What do your employees say about your staff and the employee experience and employee engagement? Those scores become even vital because they become leading indicators of where the organization is going. So I think the measuring stick now is how people are feeling the organization. Mm-hmm. Do they feel that they belong in that organization, right? And if they don't feel like they're belonging in that organization and there's no spaces to build that, you can expect churn and that's going to obviously impact your bottom line. So the measuring stick now is really getting that qualitative feedback from your staff, the quantitative feedback through those surveys, getting onto the ground and hearing that. And that becomes part of the measuring stick to see how vital or how capable your organization is going to be in the near or even the distant future.
Hmm. So maybe taking it one step further here. So if a company's watching this or, you know, or individuals that are thinking about like working with Renew IQ, or excuse me, if they're thinking about working with Renew IQ and they're ready to make some type of commitment there, what does the process look like? Like, so what does it look like to work with your company and kind of what can they expect in terms of like user experience?
Yeah, we talk about, we put relationship first. Relationship matters to us, even at the expense where we say we're not going to charge every 15 minutes overage or an hour overage because sometimes we see the bigger picture, right? And so the relationship do matter with us. And also the clients we want to work with, we hope that they see the value of relationship, that they don't see this as sort of a form of allyship or performative thing that they're doing, but they really see the value of building good relationships. And I keep going that back to the relationship piece because sometimes it is a slower process to get to know each other, build that trust. But then you have that solid root. You ever see that big oak tree? You're out in California and you know how big those redwoods are, how deep that foundation is, right? Building those relationships that a tall tree like that won't tip over in storm. So that's what we try to do. The experience is about building those relationships that we feel good with each other, especially when we're talking about things related to race, gender, which becomes like the third rail. we want to be able to help people do that with grace, have those uncomfortable conversations, leaning in and feeling, oh my gosh, that wasn't too bad. Yeah. It was a little cool, but when I got into the water, it felt all right. And I got out okay. So that's what we want to try to give our client Nestor the experience.
That's awesome. Yeah. Denley, first off, I have to say it's been great having you on the show. I just have to ask. So obviously, we got a lot to do on this book promo that'll be coming up. And as I mentioned before, we're bringing Denley back on the show once the book is live, and we'll go into your writing. But what's next? I mean, what's next for you? What's next for Renew IQ?
Yeah, absolutely. And we will continue to, as I said, build those relationships with those clients that come to us and looking for ways to make their organizations better. So that's what we're continuing to do. This work is plentiful. And I mean, you can appreciate that everyone's talking about DIA. And that's important. But I think one of the things that we want to add in terms of the space, which is a big space, and there's so much to do, I feel that what's next for us is to communicate clearly that this work is not an initiative. This work is not a project. This work is a culture change, a lifestyle change. If you think that, oh, I'm going to figure out how to make Black friends now, like me, that I'm going to do this work and go, and you go back to yourself that is totally not inclusive and never, it's not going to work. We're trying to help organizations say, you know, you look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs. We know where there's belonging. Above that is esteem and self-actualization. Yeah. We believe that part of the journey, the client experience, is say, how do you self-actualize as a leader, which is making space for people who are different and other than you. And now, how much of that do you want to incorporate as part of your own DNA and not see this as a project? And in order to do that, by the way, you need to also create a space where people feel comfortable sharing their story with you, that you can make that sort of change, which is the belonging piece. So helping leaders say part of your self-actualization is creating these spaces, and also saying that the end road of diversity, inclusion, anti-racism as a leader is creating those spaces of belonging, which will help your employee experience, engagement scores. And then, of course, it goes with the correlation that the bottom line should improve with that as well.
It's great. So Denley, if somebody's watching this and they want to learn more about Renew IQ or to connect with you and your team, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you can reach us at hello@renewiq.ca, right? So yeah, we're north of the border. So for those of our American friends and or Denley at renewiq.ca. So hello@renewiq.ca or hello@renewiq.ca. So those are two primary ways. You can also find me on LinkedIn, Renew IQ, same way, or Denley McIntosh on LinkedIn. There's not too many Denleys out there. So if you see the first Denley, it's likely to be me. So those are probably the key ways you can get a hold of me.
Awesome. And for the audience, we'll put all that information in the show notes so that you can just click on the link and head right on over and check out what Denley and his team are doing. And speaking of the audience, if this is your first time engaging with the Mission Matters platform by either watching an episode or listening to us on the podcast, then we're a platform that's all about bringing on entrepreneurs, executives, and experts and having them share their mission, why they do what they do, like what we can all learn from it and how we can all grow together, really. If that's the type of content that sounds interesting or fun or engaging to you, we welcome you. Hit that subscribe button because we have many more mission-based individuals just like Denley coming up on the line, and we don't want you to miss a thing. And Denley, really, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. Can't wait to have you back and can't wait to get this book published with you. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, thanks, Adam. I'm looking forward to coming again and having a good time with you.